if I have a spiritual gift, what is it? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and welcome Pete Alwinson, who is my pastor.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Good.
Probably a lot better than you are. I look better than you do.
That's true.
I'm better looking. And you know, I've often said, if you had my voice and I had your looks, we would be the new Billy Graham of this generation. I just want you to know. That laugh is coming from Pete Alwinson, who is my pastor and who comes in generally on Friday, and we answer questions together. We do that for a number of reasons, because he's got good stuff to say. But also because we want to make a statement that we're pro-church at Key Life. Pete serves on our board. He's a part of those who direct this ministry. And we want to be connected to the church. And we don't mention the name of the church because we're not in the business of promoting a particular church. But we believe that the church is an important part of every true parachurch ministry that has been honored by God. Well, enough about that. By the way, we do like to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email your questions to steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800 number for questions. You can get the pamphlet we're offering free, the booklet. You can get the magazine. You can get tapes free. You get a lot of neat stuff free. You can also make a contribution. Hopefully some of you will do that. But you got to write your questions down. And the only dumb one's the one you don't ask. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
All right. Father, we bow right now in your presence, and we're just thankful today that we belong to you, and that you are our Father, and that Christ is our Savior, and that the Spirit is in us. Lord, sometimes we feel that, and sometimes we don't, but it is good to be able to stop at the end of the week and to remember that you're in charge, that you always have been and you always will be, and that when our lives seem to be out of control, they're not out of your control. We honor you and we praise you, and we give you, Lord, again, the centrality of our focus and our lives. We love you, and we look forward to giving you praise and honor for who you are. As we gather this weekend for worship, we lift up, Lord, those who will stand in positions of authority and lead us in worship, our priests, pastors, teachers. We also lift up the pastoral wives and families, and Lord, thank you for their willingness to stand in the gap, to be visible and vulnerable, and to lead your people as well. So, Lord, we pray that you would draw your church together and build us up in the faith that we could live out the grace that you've given us. Thank you for Key Life. And this ministry keeps Steve strong, Lord. We pray and use him in ways that we can't even imagine, that others could know more about your grace in Christ. So we commit our time to you now as we pray these things in the strong name of our risen Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is an email. If I have a gift, what is it? How do we know what spiritual gifts we have?
I'd say the first thing is take a look in Scripture and look at what some of the gifts that are mentioned there, what they are.
Do you think that list is exclusive?
I was going to ask you that.
I don't. I think there may be a bunch of others.
Yeah, I think there probably are others. But these are
basic.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Take a look at some of those gifts and see what fits. Some of those gifts that are ongoing, I would say, are the gifts of teaching and the gifts of pastoring and service and mercy and helps and evangelism. And so look and see some of the gifts. But like you said, there are probably others. What do you think some of the other gifts could
Creativity.
Be?
Creativity. I believe that's from the Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
There may be, and that may be including music and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably gifts and skills that God gives for particular ministries.
At a particular time in the life of a church,
Well, how do you know? I mean, what you know, they all, they're those people who have designed the tests, kind of like the Cooter preference test, where would you rather visit a sick child, eat an apple pie, or go to a movie?
Yeah.
And then if you write down visit a sick child, you have the gift of mercy.
Yeah, I think
that's kind of...
What do you think, kissy? Too simple?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we always want, we want to be able to nail it down, have it absolute, and then from then on, with the system that we've worked out, serve God in a systematic and proper way.
Controlling our gifts.
Yeah. And I think, do you think sometimes, in fact, I think maybe this is the major way, is that the church affirms the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that I'm obviously do not have the gift of creativity. At least in music.
Do.
Well, I can't sing. I can't sing solos. And if I ever tried it, the church would say, ah. And when they did that, I would know that's not my gift. But if I'm preaching and God uses that in people's lives, the church says, you know, there's a gift there, exhortation.
So what you're saying is that what precedes what you just said was get out and try different things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then see what the church affirms.
Yeah,
I think so. Get out there, try different ministry. Look at the gifts. That couldn't be a bad place to start with the Bible.
Yeah.
And then get out and try some.
Can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
And then what about, if I have a gift, this is sort of along the line of, I know if I follow God, he'll tell me to do something I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
He'll send me to a third world country. And so we learn to define sin. If you enjoyed it, it's got to be sin. If you didn't, it couldn't possibly be sin, which is really neurotic.
Right.
But what about in terms of gifts? Is there a sense, that old thing from the movie with Liddell?
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire. When he said, and I'm... sense pleasure when he runs.
Yeah.
Is there an inward sense of pleasure when we're exercising again?
I think so. I think it's true. And he said that was in context with his gift to run. He said, God made me fast.
Yeah.
And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
And so our guests may be sort of like that too.
Yeah. After you preach a sermon that really you feel connected, how do you feel?
Oh man, I feel cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that's a great high.
For this I was born.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. Or I have a fire. You know, they describe it, a fire in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, when I was a young pastor on Cape Cod, one of my mentors was a man who was 60 years old when he collapsed in the pulpit, and the doctor said he would never preach again. And so he retired and came to Cape Cod. And a part of that was for me. I'm not so presumptuous as to think God fixed him. So for me, but he became my mentor, Dr. John Stanton.
Uh-huh.
And I would watch him sometimes when I was preaching. And, you know, it was bad what I was doing. And he was an encourager, and he helped me, gave me my first thesaurus and said I had to make words smaller. I mean, and if he went out the side door, I knew he didn't like it. If he went out the front door and shook hands, then it was okay.
But That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but ooh. I would watch him when I was preaching, and you could see the desire. I mean, his gift was preaching, and he wanted more than anything in the world. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel. And the doctor said, you'll die if you do. And that was his gift, and he wanted to exercise it as much as anything. So it's probably partly proclivity.
Yeah. You know, I think that's excellent. Get out there, try it, see what God uses you and where he blesses you. I love 1 Corinthians 12, first few verses. There are a variety of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Different effects, different, and this is my paraphrase, different venues.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, you might have the gift of teaching, but you might have the gift of teaching kids versus the gift of teaching adults. And if you have a hunger to teach, try it or serve. You might not want to serve at church. You might want to serve in a nursing home someplace. And then don't look at somebody else's effects, because the Holy Spirit brings the effects as to the outcomes.
I know I don't have the gift. I have the gift of teaching, but not teenagers. You know, if you're teaching teenagers and you die while you're doing it, you go right to heaven. They don't even ask about Jesus. They just say, oh, you poor guy. You were teaching teenagers. You
middle
come
school.
On in. They don't. That's right, middle schooler. All right, let's get on. This is another email. How important is church attendance? Is it an issue of being faithful to God? Well, you don't care if they come, if they send their money, do
That's
you?
That's all right, as long as they tithe. No, you know, one thing I notice about you, speaking of your view of the church, and is you're always there. If you're in town, you're in church, unless you're sick, which I think is, you know, for a big gun like you who travels a lot, I think that says a lot about your view of the church.
Well, it's very helpful to be in a church where I'm fed and where the worship is so good. You know, if I had a different pastor, it would be more of a discipline. When I was at Boston University, before I was a Christian, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a preacher, and I'm going to expect people to come, whether it's bad or good. So I showed up at that bland, boring, superficial, liberal, this side of whoopee chapel three times a week just out of pure discipline.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah. I do think that, you know, in Hebrews, it tells us, Hebrews 9 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Can we meet God on the golf course? Sure. But there's a dynamic that happens in the community of the saints. And it's, and that body image is so thoroughly New Testament that, I go to church not just to give my gift, but to receive.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's, the question almost presupposes, you know, like, do I have to go to church? Mm-hmm. You know, that used to be my thing. It's not my thing anymore. Mm-hmm. I've got to go to church. It's sort of like spending time. By the way, anybody says they worship on a golf course should not go on the tour because they're going to lose their shirt. You're either going to be a louse. I mean, if you're worshiping on a golf course, man, you're hitting above 150 on those 18. But I go to church because I got to.
Yeah.
You know, when I leave church, there's a rightness and a feeding and being with God's people and being fed from His Word and worshiping, mm-hmm. that is so important to my life.
Yeah, I agree. I tell people the time when you're going through bad things, you often don't want to go to church. I say that's the time you need to be there more than any other time, is when you don't feel like it. But, I mean, it's not a legalistic thing that you gain your salvation by going to church. There's a community and a development and a worship.
Yeah, so true. I was going to bring up another question. But it would have to be a yes-no question because we're out of time. Will we do this again next Friday?
Yeah. Cool. See you there.
Appreciate your coming in. More than you know. Guys, we're out of here. Whenever you write or call Key Life, would you do me a favor and give me the call letters of this great station? And oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.